Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would shine the light of your word upon us now, so that we might see Jesus and know him and his great goodness and mercy better. For his name's sake. Amen. The hamster sat in the corner of its cage for 3 days without moving. Somewhat concerned, its owner took it to the vet, the Tierarzt, and there the hamster started running around, happy as anything. The vet asked the owner if anything had happened to the hamster recently. Yes, the hamster had escaped. They'd found it hiding under the fridge. The vet starts looking at the hamster and opens up its mouth. And there in the hamster's mouth was a fridge magnet, hidden in its cheeks. The hamster hadn't been able to move from the bars of the cage because of the magnet. That is a true story. It's a true story. And it's not just a warning for hamster and fridge owners. That true story is a picture of what can happen to you and me when we forget God. When you lose the reality of the living God, life can start to become like a cage where you're trapped against the bars, not quite sure why you're unable to move. And Psalm 23 is in our Bibles to help us see God and to help us get moving, to help us get going, to no longer be stuck. It's not just any old God that Psalm 23 wants us to see either. This is Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus says in John's Gospel? I am the good shepherd. In other words, Jesus says, Psalm 23, that is all about me. So 1,000 years before Jesus came to this world, David speaks of him and teaches us about him. And this morning there are just two simple truths for us to see. Two simple truths to get us free from the bars of the cage and get us moving, get us going. Firstly, Jesus is my shepherd, verses 1 to 4. As I said, David's writing about 1,000 years before Jesus was born, but we don't quite know the context of this psalm. We don't know what David was up against. Whatever was facing him, whatever trouble he was in, he meets his fears with faith in God. The Lord is my shepherd, verse 1. In other words, whatever else is happening, I know I'm not alone right now. Someone is watching out for me, and not just someone, but the Lord, the God who made all that exists and who sustains it and who upholds it and directs it. He is watching out for me. This is the absolutely breathtaking privilege of being a Christian, isn't it? That the God who upholds all the planets and all the stars and all the galaxies is interested in you and me. And if you're trusting Jesus, he bends down, as it were, stoops down on one knee to watch you and care for you. The Lord's my shepherd, my shepherd. I'm not just part of a crowd, not just a number to him. He knows my name, he knows me. And so, however you've come to church this morning, I would suggest that even these first few words are here for us to breathe out and relax again. I'm known. I have a shepherd, someone who cares for me. I don't have to pretend that I've got life all together anymore. Here's a shepherd who cares for spiritual disasters like you and me. Well, what then does it mean to be cared for by the shepherd? What does his care look like? Look down at verse 1. Firstly, it's restoration. Verse 1 and verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Now, this isn't just the type of restoration that comes from getting a good night's sleep, a lion, and then a full English breakfast. This is something even better. This is Jesus restoring us in our very inner being, our soul. Feeding us from green fields where the grass is plentiful and green and luscious. Bring us to quiet places of rest where you and I can eat and drink spiritually in safety without having to wonder what's about to come out and ambush us. This restoration is more than just a spiritual Red Bull. It's the idea of Jesus actually giving us life. To restore is to revive. Jesus meets us in the deaths that we manage to create for ourselves by trying to do life in our own way, and he comes and gives us life. He shows us who he is and what he's done, and the experience is like being fed with the best of foods. On our own, we are barely human most of the time. Jesus comes and meets us and restores us, makes us what we were created to be. And so in whatever way this week has crushed you, in whatever way you are feeling most guilty and most broken, Jesus can restore you. That's the type of shepherd he is. But there's more to him too. You keep on looking at verse 2, you see that Jesus is the shepherd who leads us. He leads me. He leads me, verse 3, in paths of righteousness. So here is a shepherd who doesn't hide behind his sheep and hope that the wolf doesn't come and start eating them at the front of the queue. Here is a shepherd who puts himself in front of his sheep and leads them behind him. I'm reliably informed by friends who are farmers that sheep are complete idiots, that they will get lost before you can count to three. Here is a shepherd who goes first, who knows the path, who knows the way to go, and makes sure that his sheep follow him. He knows what is best. And as you look at verses 1 to 3, do you notice the shepherd's timing? Jesus knows when we need to lie down. It says here, sometimes he has to make us lie down because we don't want to. Well, he knows what's best. He knows when we need those green pastures and still waters. And he knows when actually we need to get walking and need to take the next step. Verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness. Perfect wisdom, perfect guidance, perfect timing. He leads his sheep. And he leads them on paths of righteousness. Basically, he leads them on the right path. There's no dead ends and false turns following Jesus. The path might be steep, it might be dark. It might be narrow, it might be lonely, but if it's the path Jesus is taking you on, it is the right one. It might not be the path you would have chosen for yourself, but it is the right one, because this shepherd knows better than his sheep. And therefore we can follow him, can't we? Here's a shepherd you can follow, here's a shepherd you can trust, even on the darkest of days. I wonder if you've spotted the slight change between verses 1 to 3 and verse 4. Verses 1 to 3 sound lovely, something you'd find on TripAdvisor. Verse 4 sounds completely different. The valley of the shadow of death. How is it that you go from walking by these green pastures to walking in the valley of the shadow of death? Well, verse 3, he leads me. It's still Jesus' wisdom, as he leads us even into that valley. And what is that valley like in verse 4? It's nothing you send home on a postcard. I wish you were here. This is a valley of thick darkness. This is a valley where you can't see the path, like we were singing about a few moments ago, where you can't see where the path's going, you can't sometimes even see if you're still on the path. Where you can't tell whether that noise you can hear is the wind moving in the trees or whether it's a wolf coming to get you for dinner. Ultimately, it's the valley where death is, the valley of the shadow of death. It's the ultimate threat, isn't it? That in this valley, in this life, there is no escaping death. But in all of that, in all of that darkness, look at verse 4. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. And fortunately, that might not sound as comfortable or as comforting as it should. Victoria has slightly ruined Psalm 23 for us. If you hear Psalm 23 and you think of a shepherd like that, you've got it all wrong. That type of shepherd, long hair, flowy dress, probably couldn't shepherd us to the coffee afterwards. Well, here's a description of a shepherd from the Middle East from the 19th century, which I think is probably a little bit more like the shepherds of David's day. Quote, "The shepherds looked like warriors marching to the battlefield. A long gun slung from the shoulder, a dagger and heavy pistols in the belt, a light battle axe or iron-headed club in the hand, prepared to use their weapons at any moment." The weapons were different in David's day, but the dangers are the same. If you're a shepherd, you have to protect your sheep from thieves, from wolves, from lions, from bears. And so when David prays here that the Lord is his shepherd, he will fear no evil, for you are with me, David knows his Saviour, his shepherd, is armed to the teeth to defend him, to defend you and me. His rod is able to keep you and me from wandering. His staff is ready to break the jaws of every enemy, even death itself. That's amazing, isn't it? Jesus can even defend us from death. Every other shepherd that this world knows has to fail when it comes to death. No other shepherd can take us through, but Jesus can. I think we can lose that dodgy picture now. Let's just go back a slide. So here is Jesus, armed to the teeth, the one who restores us, the one who leads us, the one who is with us, the one who defends us from every danger. How is this going to set us free from the cage and its bars? I want to take you on a thought experiment. I want you to imagine with me that Psalm 23 isn't true. What would life look like if Psalm 23 isn't true? Here's one Christian's meditation on that. This is Life Without Jesus from Psalm 23. I'm on my own. No one looks out for me or protects me. I experience a continual sense of need. Nothing's quite right. I am always restless. I'm easily frustrated and often disappointed. Life's a jungle. I feel overwhelmed. Life's a desert. I feel thirsty. My soul feels broken, twisted, and stuck. I can't fix myself. I stumble down some dark paths, but still I insist. I do what I want, when I want, how I want. But life's confusing. Why don't things ever really work out? Why am I haunted by emptiness and futility, by shadows of death? I fear that big hurt and final loss. Death waiting for me at the end of every road, but I'd rather not think about that. I spend my life protecting myself, but I find no lasting comfort. I'm alone. Are my friends really friends? Other people use me for their own ends. I can't trust anyone. No one has my back. No one is really for me, except for me. And actually, to be honest, I'm so about me that sometimes it's sickening. I belong to no one except myself. My cup is never quite full enough. I'm left empty. Disappointment follows me all the days of my life until I die. The Psalm 23 we have in our Bibles tears that nightmarish existence apart and gives us Jesus instead. And in these four verses that we've just looked at, there are three implications for us, three glorious truths, if you will, all about the difference that having Jesus as your shepherd makes. Firstly, you and I can be content. You and I can be content. Verse 1, I shall not want. That means I shall not lack anything. Mir wird nichts mangeln. If Jesus is your shepherd, you might not have all the things you'd like, but you will have all that you need. That's what it means to have him as your shepherd. Whatever he withholds, we don't need. Whatever he gives us, we do. I can be content. Secondly, I can be courageous. Look at verse 3. I will fear no evil. I wonder what you're scared of. I'm sure everyone here is scared of something. I certainly am. Whether you're scared of losing your job, scared of getting that letter from the doctor, scared of a relationship failing, scared of death itself, with Jesus as your shepherd, I will fear no evil. His rod and his staff are enough. He is with us. Content, courageous. Lastly, I can be comforted. I can be comforted. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That doesn't mean life isn't going to be easy. We'll still have broken hearts, still have broken bodies, still have broken families, and we still live in a broken world. Yet, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Contentment, courage, comfort. That's what it means to have Jesus as your shepherd. So that whatever tomorrow brings, you can boldly follow him. David doesn't stop there, though. He shows us in these last two verses that Jesus is not just our shepherd, Jesus is also our host, our Gastgeber. The joke goes that hospitality is the gift of people making people feel at home when you wish they were. Wait for it. There you go. Jesus is not that type of host. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me. Before me means for me. So here is Jesus, the one who is our shepherd and our guide. Here is Jesus personally laying the table for you and me. And what's he dishing up? It's not stale bread and water, yesterday's cookies. It's not a rushed McDonald's. This is a 24-course feast with all the right accompanying wines. A feast and a party for all his people, for all who have Jesus as shepherd. And this feast will be pure delight, we read there. It's in the presence of our enemies. That means none of our enemies will be able to stop us. It can be a little weird speaking of enemies nowadays. I mean, I suspect not many of us would think we have them. And yet, following Christ on paths of righteousness in this world, in this unrighteous world, that will always bring opposition. As a world demands complete loyalty that you and I can only give to King Jesus. And yet whoever's up against you because you belong to Jesus, whoever's causing you trouble at the office or at home or at the sport club, no one's going to stop you from getting to this feast. And one day they'll look on silent and defeated as you feast with Jesus. And what a feast. Complete abundance, overflowing cup there, verse 5. Plates piled high, four desserts to choose from past the champagne. And amazingly, you're the guest of honour. This isn't the meal that you and I put on for Jesus out of thankfulness. This is the meal that Jesus puts on for you and for me out of love. Look at verse 5. Maybe you stumble slightly at the phrase, you anoint my head with oil. I don't know what you like to happen to you when you go to parties. My personal preference is not to have oil poured over my head. Future note if you ever invite me. But back then it was a sign of honour to drizzle some oil on the guest of honour's head. So verse 5 is saying something truly amazing. That at this feast, where the God who created all things has welcomed you in, Jesus makes you the guest of honour. You're not stuck on the table next to the toilets at the back of the room. You're there at the top table with Jesus. That's where Jesus is leading you. That's how the shepherd treats you. As he brings us to that great feast with him where he welcomes us home. Verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's the place, the one place you'll never feel awkward, out of sorts or out of place. There you'll be home. But what about now? What about now? In the valley now, but not yet at the feast. What about now? Verse 5, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Literally, surely goodness and mercy shall hunt me down, shall chase me. God's goodness and mercy aren't struggling to catch up with you. They're never leaving your side, chasing you day and night. So that God has written each day of your life in his goodness and mercy if you're trusting Jesus. It means God will never treat you as you and I deserve. He'll never give to you what we deserve for having offended him. What does this mean for you? Very simple. I am safe, I am loved. That's what it means. That's verse 5 and 6. I'm safe, I am loved. You're safe because you're going to make it to that final feast, whatever happens, however you die. You might be a weak sheep, welcome to the club, but our shepherd is strong enough for all his weak sheep. He has never lost a sheep, and he never will. And Death's Valley has no terrors that are equal to his goodness. I'm safe. Secondly, with Jesus as shepherd and host, you're loved. Why would God do all of this? For the very simple reason that he loves us. And in his kindness, he has decided to make goodness and mercy the ink, as it were, with which he writes the stories of our lives. You're loved and you always will be. There's one final thing we need to see about Psalm 23 as we close. We need to see that Jesus is not just the shepherd who walks ahead of us, but amazingly, Jesus is the shepherd who once walked as a sheep through Psalm 23 himself. As Christians, we believe what the Bible teaches, that Jesus is fully God and fully man, which means that Jesus lived out the reality of Psalm 23 for himself. Before Psalm 23 becomes our song and our prayer, it was Jesus' song and prayer. Jesus knows what it is to walk every single step of this valley, to walk through all of death's terrors, and even into death himself, trusting his Father to be his shepherd. And rising from the grave on the third day, Jesus has defeated all his enemies and is even now able, as the conquering king, to prepare a feast for all who trust him. And the great news of the rest of the Bible is that Jesus did all of that for you and for me. He lived that perfect life because we haven't, because we've screwed things up, because we've hurt our neighbour and offended our God. And therefore Jesus gives us his perfect life. And because you and I deserve judgment for how we've treated God, Jesus takes that judgment upon himself and pays the lot, pays it all, so that he can be our shepherd. So that you and I can be forgiven and welcomed at God's table. And that is what he does for all who trust him. Psalm 23 is there to get us going, to get us moving, to get us walking. So that whatever the next step in the valley looks like for you, you and I can take it boldly, together, knowing that we're following Jesus our shepherd. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for giving us Jesus. Thank you that he is an all-sufficient shepherd, that he is perfectly sufficient to deal with all of our sins, all of our weaknesses, all of our worries and all of our doubts. Thank you for his perfect restoration. Thank you for his perfect leading. Thank you for his perfect defence and protection of us. And gracious God, we do praise you that he leads us through this valley, through this life, to the world to come, where death and tears and sorrow and fear are fully banished, and we will feast with you forever at his table. Please write these truths upon our hearts so that we can boldly follow Jesus this week, wherever he would lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.